Welcome to Pinchas, Siche Beis, and Chelek Yud Gimel, page 99. This is a Siche here on Rashi in this week's Parsha. A gorgeous, gorgeous Siche. The Rebbe goes through details and points out how everything in the Rashi is so exact, so precise. Let's see. B'tchiles Parshas HaKarbonis, in the beginning of the Parsha of Karbonis, B'Parsha Seinu, in this week's Parsha. Ma'itik Rashi es HaTevois Tzav es B'nei Yisrael. Rashi brings from the Pasuk these words, Tzav es B'nei Yisrael, u'mefarish, and Rashi explains as follows. Ma omala mailo, what does it say before this in the Torah? Yifkid Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is asking of the Eibishter that he should appoint somebody to be a leader in Klal Yisrael after he passes away. Omala HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here the Eibishter responds to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ad she'ata metzaveini al banai, before you are commanding me what to provide for my children, to provide a leader for them. Tzavez bonei alai. I am asking you to command my children to do for me and to bring the karbonis, as it says in the continuation of the psukim here. Then Rashi says, Mashal chulu kedle kaman siv beis. Rashi brings a mashal for this concept, as we'll see later on in the next sif. So the Rebbe has a couple of questions just on this section of Rashi. Tzarech lahavin, the first and obvious question here is, Ma koshel Rashi b'teva is tzavas b'nei Yisrael shehu tzarech lafarsha? What's bothering Rashi in the meaning of these words that Rashi has to explain them? V'im shum tevas tzav. Is it the word tzav? There's something unique about this word tzav, command the Yidden? What's the significance of this word tzav? Harei kvar pirsha Rashi b'reish parshas tzav u'bat goshe. Rashi already explained it and emphasized that this is its meaning always. Ein tzav elo loshen ziris miyad l'deiris. The word tzav always means commanding for now and for future generations. To encourage, to be mezaris to do it in all future generations. So that's the meaning of tzav always. Hayne shebechol mokayim ein pirsha achel tzav. So always, in Torah, there is no other interpretation to the word tzav. So why would Rashi have to explain that word here again? So it's not the word tzav that Rashi's bothered by. Yesh mefarshim, others say as follows. The Rashi baluvayer hasmiches the parasha zu, the parasha akedemes, yifkid Hashem. Rashi simply coming to explain the continuation of the psukim. Where does this subject of the karbanis come as a continuation to what was spoken about before? Before it speaks about that Moshe Rabbeinu will be passing away, and Moshe Rabbeinu requests of the Eibishter to appoint somebody to be a leader, and then we come into the parasha of Karbonis. So what's the connection? When Rashi says that earlier it says Yivkod Hashem, in other words, Ma'wa Kesher ben Parshasenu la'ha'om la'mailo Yivkod Hashem. Rashi is really pointing to a question. Doesn't seem to be any connection between what it says here and the Karbonis and what it said before that the Eibishter should appoint a leader for Yidden. Metaretz, and Rashi answers, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu chulu, that this is a conversation that the Eibishter had with Moshe Rabbeinu. Avol koshel lefarish kein, it's difficult to say this, but Rashi, that Rashi is coming to explain the connection of this parsha to the previous parsha. Ki, number one, Aleph, signoin Rashi b'chayetze b'zeh, the style of the way Rashi writes this, if this is his question, keshebol lefarish smichas parshias, when he comes to explain why two parshias come one after the other, hulama nismecha. Rashi always uses the term lama nismecha. Why does this come near the previous subject? Rashi himself uses this terminology right over here in this parasha. Ala pasik alei el har ha'avarim. Go up to the mountain avarim. And Rashi says, lama nismecha lekan. Why is this written here? Bereish parashas shlach. Lama nismecha parashas meraglim leparashas Miriam. Why is parashas meraglim come right after the story with Miriam? Bereish parashas ba'aloischa. Lama nismecha parashas ha-menoira leparashas ha-nesiyim. Why is the parasha of the menoira right after the parasha of the nesiyim? Va'oid. And other examples. So Rashi always uses the term lama nismecha. If that's Rashi's question here, Rashi would have definitely used the same terminology. Beis, another point. Smichas ha-parshi is benidin didan. The fact that the parsha of Karbonis is being said now is muvenesi bepashtus. It can be simply understood. Kivin, sha'adata, since, up until now, seif mem shana ba-midbar, at the end of being 40 years in the midbar, the Yidden were not yet told all the details of the mitzvah of the Karbonis. So this is the last opportunity. The Yevishim must command them on this now. Before we begin, Mishneh Torah, which is the Chumash Devarim, where the Yevishim repeats and reviews the mitzvahs that he already said, which Moshe Rabbeinu speaks. If the Eibush is not going to command it to them now, so when yes, this was the last opportunity to say this. So why the Yidden are being told the mitzvah of Karbanis now? Because they were never told the mitzvah of Karbanis before. Now, if you're going to say, so why weren't they told before? Why, when it does come up before in Parashas Emor, where some of the Karbanis are mentioned, why wasn't it said before? So the Rebbe in the Ha'ara points out, if that's the question of Rashi, then Rashi is not giving an answer. But if the question simply is, what's the connection of the Karbanis to why now when Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, he's going to be passing away? Do we say the Karbanis? The answer is, because this is a mitzvah they haven't been told till now, and this was the last opportunity for it to be said. So this is not really a question. So now the Rebbe gives a third suggestion of what might be Rashi's question. What's bothering Rashi is that the Torah's words, it's extra. It says tzav, command the Yidden, and then it says again, you should tell them. One of the two is extra. Either tzav is extra, or v'amar taleim is extra. So this can't be the question of Rashi. Key for the following reasons. Aleph number one, Oz Havale La Rashi Lahatik Me'akosov. Rashi should have brought from the Pasik, Koidim Le Pirushay, before he says his Pshat, Oy Bipirushay, or within his Pshat, Gam Vamartale. Rashi should have brought the words Vamartale. Ki Ayidezen is Ayidra Kushya. This is the basis of his question. If Rashi is bothered by the fact that the Torah is repeating itself, and therefore Rashi says that Tzav is telling us a new pshat, that it's a connection to what Moshe, a conversation that Moshe had with the Eibishter, so Rashi should have brought the words V'amar Talem. This is a key always in understanding Rashi, looking at what Rashi brings from the Pasuk, and here he does not bring the words V'amar Talem. Beis, another point is, L'kamam b'parshas Maaseh, later in Parshas Maaseh, b'shaychas l'gvulos ha'aretz, in connection to the borders of Eretz Yisrael, nema gam ken, it says the exact same terminology, tzaves b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem v'lepirish Rashi midi, and there Rashi says nothing. And of course, what Rashi says here, that the Torah writes extra, tzaves b'nei Yisrael, is because it's in connection to a conversation Moshe has with the Eibishter, does not apply there in Parshas Maaseh. So there Rashi doesn't explain it, so apparently Rashi holds it doesn't require explanation. Now the Rebbe points out another point, b'chlal, nema b'teire oit pa'omim rabbis. It says in the Torah many more times, a very similar lashon, daber al b'nei Yisrael, v'amar tale, speak to the Yidden and you should tell them. V'lei pirish Rashi kefil ha'lashon. Rashi never explains the double language used here. Mochrach laiman. So we're going to have to say, ki al derech ha'pshat ein zekushya, that in the pshat of the pasuk it's not considered to be a question. The kefil ha'lashon, the fact that the Torah is repeating this, it's to strengthen the command. The Eibishter is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to them, tell them. It's just to strengthen the idea. But there's no other pshat here for this. So if so, in our case as well, when it says Tzavos b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem, the repetition doesn't require an explanation. So the Rebbe suggested three different pshatim of what might be Rashi's question, whether the word Tzav itself, or maybe the Rashi is explaining the smichas haparshias, why this parsha comes here now, or the redundancy of tzav and v'amar ta'aleim, and the Rebbe showed us how none of these pshatim could be what Rashi comes to be addressing. So we're back to our question, what is it that Rashi is coming to address in the pshat of the pasuk? Now the Rebbe continues and brings the mashal that Rashi brings here to explain his pshat. Rashi mamshech b'pirushai, Rashi continues, mashal abas melech. There is a mashal, a parable of a daughter of a king, a princess, shehoyseh nifteres min ha'olam, that was departing from the world. And she was telling her husband to take charge of the children. And so on. And the mashal continues. Kedisa b'sifri, as this mashal is explained in the Sifri. So now, the question over here is, what's this mashal all about? Rashi only brings part of the mashal. What is going on over here? V'einam, move on. The question here, first of all, is, Mani Taisif ba'avonas akosif. What is added in understanding this pasuk here, the hanimshal? And the nimshal at she'ata mitzaveni al bane chulu ayidei mashal zeh. We have over here the Eibishter telling Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of you commanding me to take care of my children, I tell you to command my children to listen to me. And for that we bring this mashal of a similar thing where you have a princess that passes away and tells her husband to take care of the children, and the husband says to his wife, tell the children to look out for me. But it seems to be a very simplistic mashal, and it doesn't really add any additional understanding to the content of what we're speaking about. L'chayre, not only does it not add, adarab, seemingly to the contrary, hanimshal muvan yaisa ma'amashal. The nimshal, the actual story that happened here between the Eibishter and Moshe Rabbeinu is more understood than the mashal that Rashi brings. And the Rebbe points out a few difficulties here, a few discrepancies in the comparison of the mashal and the nimshal. Aleph number one, Bakoshas Moshe Me'isa Kadosh Baruch Hu. When Moshe Rabbeinu requests from the Eibishter, Yifke Hashem Goyim Me'isha La'eda, appoint a person to be a leader over the congregation. Muvenes umuchrachasi. It's very understood why Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for this, and it's very needed. Sha'arei meduba b'minui manoik kol Yisrael. He's asking for a leader for all of the Yidden. Shiyei soivul kol echad v'echad l'fi daitai. And a leader that has to be there for every individual to be able to listen to every individual according to what his needs are, according to his opinion. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was requesting for in the nimshal that we're talking about over here. But v'ilubba mashal, if you look at the mashal of what the bas melech, the princess, is asking from her husband, hamadubur hu b'boneo shel bas melech, we're talking about children that are the children of a princess. Aleph, number one, shehem esem mispar. They're just a few individuals. We're not talking about something so vast, so great, and so important like an entire nation. And beis, number two, shehem bonim. They're children. They are her husband's children. Ve'ena mochrech kol kach al kolponim, and it's at least not so necessary, shehiya ha'av zokuk sheyifkudu loyal bono. He doesn't need his wife, the princess, to come and tell him to take charge of the children. So the mashal seems to be much less, there's much less of a concern of the well-being of the children than there is in the case over here of the mashal. Yeah, okay. So that's one discrepancy, one thing that's over here, not similar to the mashal and the nimshal. Another point is, beis, the second point is, Maimer HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. What is the response of the Eibishter to Moshe Rabbeinu? Tzaveh es b'nei Yisro, es b'nai olai. Command the Yidden to listen to me. So move on. When the Eibishter commands, tells Moshe Rabbeinu to command the Yidden to listen to me, so it's understood, Shaharei ovru b'nei Yisrael al tzivu Yashem. The Yidden already have transgressed the Eibishter's commands more than once. They've been tested, and they were testing the Eibishter more than once while they were in the Midbar. So v'yesh tzorech la'zhirem al kach. So we understand the importance of why you have to warn Yidden after Moshe Rabbeinu passes away. That's in the Nimshal. So that's understood why the Eibishter was concerned about this. Avol ba mashal, but in the mashal over here, where the husband says, tell the children to take care of me, to look after me, lama teisek adaita. Why would we think sha'abonim yishkechu alaviyam, that the children will forget about their father? And you have to specifically command the children, the husband is telling his wife, the princess, talk to the children before you pass away that they shouldn't forget about me. Why would we suspect that children would forget about their father? So both parts of the mashal don't seem to be adding anything to understanding the nimshal. Not only that, it seems to be completely out of place. It doesn't match up to the point that we're speaking about over here. Then there's another point here. Gam yesh lo'aven adiyukim b'pirush Rashi b'aviyah ha'mashal. The way Rashi quotes this mashal is very interesting. It's not really very helpful. Why? Aleph number one, Rashi maitik midivrei ha'sifri. Rashi brings from the words of the sifri only half of the mashal. Mashal abas melech shayisim nefteres min ha'ilam. The princess was passing away. Vayisim afkedes labayla al-banel. And she's telling her husband to take charge of the children. Chulu. And he stops right there. Umaysev. And then all Rashi says is, kedisa b'sifri. This is the mashal that's brought in the sifri. So umimonafshach. Either way, it's not understood what Rashi is gaining by bringing only half of the story. If all Rashi is trying to do is just lead you to the source, go look it up for yourself. You have to look it up for yourself. So then have a little katsa v'loima. So then Rashi should have just simply said, mashal abas melech, kedisa b'sifri. Go and find the mashal of the princess that's brought in the sifri. Just giving you a reference, where to find it. If Rashi wants to tell you the content of the mashal itself, if he feels it important to share the actual mashal itself, so then Rashi should have brought the entire mashal. And not only to bring some of the details, part of the mashal, what's helpful to bring part of only half of the story? So we must say, These details that Rashi brings, heim ikev avonis pirushay. That's the main thing that's necessary to understand that Rashi's saying here. Mashenken ashar. The rest, the continuation of the mashal, is not relevant. So Rashi only brings the part of the mashal that's relevant. So the question is, mawa ikisha bezeh. What's exactly the main points that Rashi is making here by bringing a half a story, by bringing a half a mashal? That's the first thing. Beis, the second point is, mekayre shel mashal kedivrei Rashi b'sifri. The source for this mashal is in the Sifri. If you take a look in the Sifri itself, as Rashi tells you, kedisa b'sifri, so you take a look in the Sifri itself, so you'll find some slight differences. Aleph, number one, so avosham isa, there it says differently. Aleph, mashal cholu lemelech. There, we're talking about a king that's departing from the world. And beis, shohaisa ishtoi, v'loi bas melech. Okay, so we're talking about a melech and his wife. So again, sorry, let me repeat this again. We're talking about a melech and his wife. The queen is passing away, and the queen is having a conversation with her husband, the king. It's not talking about a princess and her husband. Vilo Rashi mishana v'kaisiv. Rashi switches the mashal and he says aleph. Number one, he says mashal lebas melech. We're not talking about the queen. We're talking about the princess. Beis, we're not talking about the king, but she's telling her husband to take charge. Stam, her husband, doesn't give the husband any additional titles. Her husband, v'lei melech, we're not talking about a king. So why is Rashi bringing it differently than the Sifri? So the Rebbe says right away, v'hine, av shebevadai motza Rashi girsa kazuba Sifri. There's no question about it. Rashi must have found such a version in the Sifri that has the mashal this way. We call Makim and move on, but the question is, Lama Bacha Begirsazu? Why does Rashi choose this version? V'leinakat Girsa Aravachas. And Rashi doesn't bring the more accepted version the way we have it in the Sifri. Kanirim Ezeshi Shehiba B'Sfarim Shalom. In all of our books of the Sifri that we have, this is the version that we have. So this is the more accepted version. Why does Rashi bring a different version of the Sifri? And if you look more into the details here of the changes that Rashi makes, it seems like that the version of the actual Sifri that we have is more appropriate. Sha'adarab, on the contrary. Lehanimshul HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is all being brought as a parable for the Eibishter. Masam Dafke Moshel Melech, the Melech. The parable that should be talking about a king, and over here the Eibishter is the king, that would be much more appropriate. So about Korchach Tzorech Leima, we must say Shedafke Girsazu. It's specifically this version that Rashi found that we're talking about a princess, and we're talking about a husband, not about a king. Masimo L'Pshutu Shal Mikra Derech Pirush Rashi. This is the more simple pshat to understanding the pshat of the pasuk, which is what Rashi is here to do. For Tzorech La'Avinza, we need to understand what this is all about. Why is Rashi choosing specifically this version of the mashal? Gimel, there's another question here. Duba Kaba Pamim, it was already spoken about this more than once. The Kisharashi Mitzayim Makal Pirushai. Whenever Rashi points a source to his pshat, although Rashi very often does not, Ubefrat Kisha'ein Soysim Dvarov, Rabbi Seinu, Vachayetzibeze, and especially when Rashi does not simply say that this is a pshat from Rabbi Seinu, Kiyim Mefart, Kibenitin Didan Sifri. Rather, he writes specifically where he took it from, that it comes from the Sifri. Why is Rashi doing so? Rashi wants to negate a source of a similar source that's in another place. And that other place has a similar concept, similar pshat, but it's not the pshat that Rashi is quoting because it doesn't fit in the pshat of the pasuk. So that's why many, very often you have a similar idea that appears in two sources. So Rashi says Sifri in our case. Rashi says Sifri so that you should know that you have to look at the mashal in the Sifri and not in another source. And the Rebbe says an alternative, oi, possibly, sha'iyim ba'amokir. Rashi is pointing you to the source, because by looking into the source, yitaretz kushiyah shetisayiretz l'talmud mamulach. By a real sharp student, sharp learner, that might still have a question even after what Rashi said, although Rashi is telling you what's adequate to understanding the pshat. But sometimes there may be an additional question that a sharp learner may have, so he's telling you, look in the Sifri, and that question will be answered as well. Ubenitin didam. Right over here in our case, ma bo Rashi l'ramez olivayir al yidei sofes tzion amokir kedisa b'sifri. What is Rashi coming to hint and explain by adding the source that this mashal comes from the Sifri? So here the Rebbe brings us, where is the other source where a similar pshat, where a similar mashal is brought? V'hinei b'tanchuma. On the Tanchuma, right over here on this pasuk, it says as follows: Mevi gam kem mashal deyme b'nidin didan. He brings a very similar parable in our case. B'zeh l'shein mashal l'ma hadava deyme. What could this be compared to? L'melech shenasa isha, a king that gets married to his wife. V'ha'yel lo shushvin, and his wife, the queen, has somebody accompanying her, or somebody that's a mediator between the king and the queen, or let's call him a marriage counselor. Kozman sha melech koyes al ishtoi, whenever the king has an issue with his wife, he gets angry at his wife, at the queen, hashushvim mefayis chulu. The marriage counselor is right there, and he appeases the king and makes peace amongst them. Ba shushvin lamus, this marriage counselor, or this person, this mediator, is going to die. He sees he's going to be removed from the scene. Hischil mevakish min amelech, so he comes and he requests of the king, amalei bevakoshe mimcha, I request of you, ten daitcha lishtecha, pay attention to your wife, treat her well. He's concerned what's going to happen when he's not going to be there. Amalei amelech, so the king responds and says, matam etzavei ni alishti, why are you coming to me to ask me to treat my wife well? Tzaves ishti alai, go to my wife and tell her to treat me well. Chulo. Sounds typical? Okay. So this is the mashal that it brings here in the Medrash, that this is something that goes on between a king and the queen. When you have a person, a mediator in between, this is the mashal that's being used for the conversation between the Eibishter and Moshe Rabbeinu regarding whether the Eibishter has to tend to the needs of the Yidden, or whether the Eibishter tells Moshe Rabbeinu, no, that the Yidden have to tend to my needs, to listen to what I want of them. So lefizeh mokim loyma. Based on this, we can say the mashal zeh b'tanchuma. It's this mashal here in the Tanchuma, Barashi lishloil b'kosvei k'deisa b'sifri. Rashi is negating. This is not the mashal that fits into the pshat of the pasuk, but you have to look into the sifri. But onam ha'gufa boy beer. This itself needs an explanation. B'meh masam ha'mashal shebpirish yarashi yosem imashal shushvim shebatanchuma. In what way is the mashal that Rashi brings any better than this mashal over here of this shushvin, of this intermediary, of this mediator between the king and the queen that's passing away? Why is Rashi's mashal any better than this mashal? They both seem to be good mashalim. In fact, the Rebbe pointed out before that there are some problems with the mashal that Rashi brings. So why isn't this mashal of the Tanchuma a good mashal for the pshat of Rashi? So we have many, many questions here on Rashi's pshat, both regarding Bechalal, what's Rashi coming to say. It's not clear at all which question Rashi is coming to address in the Pasuk. The mashal that Rashi brings seems to be out of place, doesn't seem to match up with the Nimshal. The way Rashi quotes the mashal, he only quotes it partially, and he points us to the Sifri. What is going on with this Rashi? So the Rebbe explains as follows. Ba'abir b'kolzeh, the explanation for all of this is as follows. And the Rebbe begins with explaining what is the question that Rashi is coming to address. Tevas tzav. The meaning of the word tzav, kvar pirsha Rashi, Rashi already explained it, kanal, as we quoted before, ain't tzav ela loshen zirus. The word tzav means that you're encouraging somebody to go ahead and do this. You're not just telling him about this, but you're commanding him and you're encouraging him to go ahead and do it right away. So omizeh muvam. So if so, it's understood. Da loshen tzav, the expression of commanding of tzav, loit titochin ela le'ela amis askin bepoyel b'kiyum atzivui. Only makes sense when you're talking to those individuals that will be fulfilling this command. So they are the people that are going ahead and doing this. So therefore you have to tell them, you have to encourage them, they shouldn't procrastinate and they should go right at it, they should get it done right away. So that's if you're speaking to them, to those people that are doing it, it's necessary to use the expression of tzav to encourage them to do it. Because of the law, if so, we can see now what the question Rashi has over here in our pasuk. What's the content of this entire parsha? To bring the karbonis in the right time. This is a mitzvah that's for the kohenim. How does the parsha here begin? Tzav es bnei Yisrael, command the Yidden. It doesn't say command Aaron and his children, which are the ones that are doing this. And the Rebbe adds, in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, where it says the expression of Tzav to encourage them to do it immediately, it's speaking to the Kayanim and it's telling them, it's encouraging them to do it. Over here it does not say Tzav is Aaron as Bonav, Shehem, I must ask him, Bakrovas are Karbonis. They are the ones that bring the Karbonis. So why does it say Sav as Bnei Yisrael. So that's the question of Rashi. So Rashi brings these words from the Pasuk, Tzav as Bnei Yisrael, because this is the question. The expression of Tzav, which is encouraging the person that's doing something to get it done right away, and as Bnei Yisrael, which is not the people that bring the Karbonis, is out of place. So now to answer this question, so Rashi brings these words that are his question, and Rashi explains as follows. What does it say earlier? That Moshe Rabbeinu asks the Eibishter to appoint someone upon Yidden. Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Eibishter is now responding. Before you command me to provide for my children, Tzave es banai alai. Command my children to listen to me. So now Rashi is introducing a new pshat of why it says Tzav as Bnei Yisrael, although this is l'chayda relevant to the Kainim. The Hainu meaning as follows. The Pirish Tzav as Bnei Yisrael benidin didan. The meaning of Tzav as Bnei Yisrael in our case, hu lav dafka l'akravas ha-karbonis miyadu l'dayris. It's not commanding the Yidden directly about these karbonis, that they should go ahead and bring the karbonis, because they're not the ones that do it. Elozirus klali l'chol Yisrael al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a pasuk for itself, which is coming to encourage Yidden generally in their dedication to the Eibishter. It's a zirus klali to all Yidden to be dedicated to the Eibishter, kaidem yisasa shel Moshe, before Moshe passes away. And this comes kemaina b'smichas l'divrei Moshe yifkid Hashem. This is the Eibishter's response to Moshe Rabbeinu's request that the Eibishter should appoint somebody upon Yidden. So when it says Tzav es Bnei Yisrael, this pasuk is a response of the Eibishter. That's why it says Tzav es Bnei Yisrael, that the Yidden should be concerned about me, the Yidden should listen to me. So therefore it says over here, and the Rebbe points out three details. Aleph, it says Lashon Tzav. It says a strong Lashon, command them. Why is this? Because it's connected to what it said before. Kishem Shemoshe Mitzaveini al Bonai. Bitzivoi, when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to the Eibishter, he's commanding the Eibishter. He doesn't simply request. He's commanding the Eibishter, Yifked Hashem, that the Eibishter should appoint somebody upon the Yidden. So he's speaking in a very strong language. Kach Ona Kadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. The Eibishter answers Moshe Rabbeinu with the same strong language. Tzavi es Bonai alai. Command the Yidden to listen to me. It's one detail, the term Tzav. Beis as Bnei Yisrael, command all Yidden, v'loyrak Aaron ubonov. This is not only Aaron and his children. Kishem shebikesh Moshe yifked Hashem al bonai. The Eibishter asks of the Moshe asks of the Eibishter to appoint somebody upon all Yidden. Shebezeh kol Bnei Yisrael shavin, to have a leader for all the Klal Yisrael. All Yidden are the same. The necessity is equal for everybody. Kach ona Kadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. So when the Eibishter answers Moshe, he says, Tzave as Bnei Yisrael alai tzivi bechlal, that all Yidden together equally, all Yidden equally should be there to listen to me. This is not talking about a specific mitzvah that applies to one Yid or another Yid or one segment of Klal Yisrael. This is a general tzave, to command Yidden in general, all equally to be dedicated to the Eibishter. Gimel, another detail. Achakach Moisif, however, it doesn't mean that this pasuk is completely disconnected to the parasha that follows, which is the parasha of Karbonis. Achakach Moisif, then there's an additional detail which is related to this. Shetzivui zeh, ein rak sima slave, schira la kodesh baruch hu. The Eibishter is not just telling Yidden, take me seriously, remember me, keep me in your heart. That's not just in the heart. Kiyem v'amarta aleyem es karboni geime. It is related to what follows, which is the Karbonis. Meaning, Hatzivui Tzarech Lahavi Lidei Maisa. Command Yidden to listen to me to such an extent, it should be something that should lead to action, to doing something, like being Makriv HaKarbon. We'll move on, so it's understood. Shagam HaMaisa Tzarech Lias Negei El Chol Yisrael. And this is an action that we mentioned here. The action of the Karbonis is something that's relevant for all of Klal Yisrael. Although it's not something which all of Klal Yisrael is actually doing, because the pshat of the pasuk Tzav es Bnei Yisrael is Moshe Rabbeinu encouraging, the Eibishter is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to encourage and command Yidden to bechlal be dedicated to the Eibishter, but that encouragement should be benigeya to something that will come down into action, and we're talking about an action that is relevant to all of Klal Yisrael. What is this? Pu'olas HaKarbonis, bringing the Karbonis. Shal Yodam Naser Reach Nichayach, this brings a pleasure to the Eibishter. Nachas Ruach Lefonai, Shamar Tiritzaini. The pleasure that the Eibishter has, that his will has been fulfilled. So this is something that although the Kohenim are the ones that actually bring the carbon, but in the context of the beginning of the Pasuk, Tzavas B'nai Yisrael, that he's encouraging all of the Yidden to be dedicated to the Eibishter, the Karbanis is something that's relevant in their dedication of all of Klal Yisrael. At the Pshat of Rashi, that he explains here these words, Tzav as B'nai Yisrael. This is the Eibishter's response to Moshe Rabbeinu asking the Eibishter, or really commanding the Eibishter, to appoint a leader on Klal Yisrael. So now, based on this, we can understand the need for a mashal. Why Rashi brings a parable. Based on this pshat, we have the two following questions. Aleph, divrei Moshe yifked Hashem. When Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to the Eibishter, he says that the Eibishter should appoint somebody. Nemru l'Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzivui. That Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to the Eibishter as a command. Mitzaveini al bona. As the Eibishter says, you're commanding me to take care of my children. And therefore, the Eibishter responds in the same way, Tzav as B'nai Yisrael kanal, that you should command a Yidden. So the question is, how is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu would speak to the Eibishter with such strength, with such strong terms, Tzav, to command the Eibishter what to do? How is that possible? So this is a problem with this Prat of Rashi. To create this connection between the Tzav as B'nai Yisrael and what Moshe Rabbeinu said before, that you're commanding me and I'm commanding you, this is a very strong conversation going on. It's very unusual that Moshe Rabbeinu should speak this way. Beis, another question is, Bakoshas Moshe. What is Moshe Rabbeinu's request? Yifked Hashem, the Eibishter should appoint the leader. Why Moshe Rabbeinu was so concerned about this is very understood. It's very necessary for the existence of Yidden to have a leader. As the Pasuk there explains that Moshe Rabbeinu said, so the congregation of the Eibishter should not be like sheep without a shepherd. But the Ilo, Maina Kadosh Baruch Hu Tzav Es B'nei Yisrael, the answer of the Eibishter to Yidden, that Yidden should be commanded to listen to the Eibishter. And what follows after that? What does the Torah choose to bring in this context? Lahakrev Karbonis, to bring Karbonis. Tachlisoi, what is the Karbonis all about? What's its purpose? Shiyeh Reich Nechayach, it brings a pleasure. Nachas Ruach Lefanechul, it brings a pleasure to the Eibishter. Doesn't seem to be something that's so necessary like Moshe Rabbeinu was asking. The Tamua Beyaser. If so, there's a very strong question here. Ha'im Hanachas Ruach Lefanechul. This Nachas Ruach that the Eibishter has, Shalidea Kravas Akrabonis, through the Karbonis, Mechrachas Yaser, is even more important. Miyifke Hashem Ishala Eida, before a leader is appointed for the Yidden. So much so that the Eibishter comes with a complaint to Moshe Rabbeinu, that before you talk about a leader for Yidden, something that's even more important is that Yidden should bring karbanis for me. Karbanis l'chayde is just an inyan of nachas ruach. A leader is critical for the existence of Klal Yisrael. So why does the Eibishter respond this way? So therefore we have some very basic questions in understanding this conversation between the Eibishter and Moshe. So Rashi answers this by bringing the mashal of the princess that was departing from the world, and she's telling her husband to take charge of the children. By bringing this mashal, and specifically by quoting here these details, the Moshe Nimshal Bas Melech, that Moshe Rabbeinu is compared to a princess, Beisha Nefteres Min Olam, and specifically a princess in this time period when she's departing from the world. Ube'inyin Shemafkedes Al Banel, and regarding the fact that she is commanding her husband to take care of the children. Va'akadosh Baruch Hu Bailo, and we are comparing the Eibishter to a husband, Stam, without any titles. He's just the husband of the princess, no additional titles. Move on, Kolanal. This will answer the questions here. The problem that we have with the conversation between the Eibishter and Moshe. Ulechem Esayim Rashi. Therefore, Rashi concludes, Kedi Isa B'Sifri, that this is the mashal the way it appears in the Sifri. Lishlol HaMashal SheBetanchuma, to negate that we're not using the mashal that is in the Tanchuma, Kanal Siv Gimel, as mentioned before. So the point here is, even though Rashi doesn't quote the mashal in its entirety, it's because you don't need the entire mashal. It's only these details, the princess, the husband, departing from the world, and the children, these are the details of the mashal that are important to understand in the dynamics of the relationship between the Eibishter and Moshe, and the dynamics of this conversation that we had a problem about. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking so strongly? Why is the Eibishter responding so strongly? So to understand the dynamics of this conversation, it's only specifically these details that are relevant to explain this. How is that? So the Rebbe will explain here beautifully how every single detail is exact what Rashi brings. So the explanation of the mashal is as follows. And the Rebbe points out the three main components of this mashal. Ha'isha. The first thing is, let's look at the wife, at the Bi'isa Bas Melech. So this wife, she's the one that's passing away now. So now this wife, this princess, since she's a Bas Melech, she is a princess. Tevas hi bitkifas mi bailo. She can demand very strongly from her husband, Stam. Her husband is just, yes, he is the husband of a princess, but he's just a regular man in that sense. She'enei melech. He's not a king at all. So she can demand of him things very strongly. She's a princess. She has a certain yichus. Her husband is just a plain individual. So she can turn to her husband and speak in strong terms. But there's another point here. Aval rak, when could she speak to her husband this way? Aleph kishenifteres min ha'olam. Only when it comes time for her to depart from this world. And Beis also kishemafkedes al boneha. When she's speaking to her husband about taking care of the children. Why is that? Kol yemei nisueha. The rest of her lifetime, she's married to this man, even though he's just a plain individual. Harei b'chol isha nema. Regarding every wife, it says, v'hu yimshel bach, she'ikfufa ubteila labaila. That she has to listen to what her husband tells her. So during her entire lifetime, she can't speak with such strong words to command her husband what to do. Aval kishepo azman. But now when the time arrives, k'sheniftaras min ha'olam, she's leaving the world, so she has to speak up now. Two, another point here. Shemuchrachas lifkoid lebailo stam al boneho. She's talking to her husband, which is just a plain individual, and she's talking to him about her children. And v'oid, another detail, shehem nechdei amelech. They are the grandchildren of the king. These are the children, which are the grandchildren of the king, are very special people. They have this special yichus. Now is the time when her strength and her yichus of being the princess comes out, and although during her entire lifetime she has a good marriage and she doesn't speak up against her husband, she doesn't demand things of him this way, but now at this point before she passes away, for her children, for the eneklach of the king, she speaks up that her husband, she's a bas melech, she can speak up strongly to her husband. That's one point. So this is one point in the mashal as far as the position of the Bas Melech, the strength that the Bas Melech has, the princess has, to speak up. Beis, another point over here is, Habal mevakesh she'ishtoi tetzave esbonov olov. The husband requests that his wife should command the children to take care of him. And he speaks in strong terms that she should see to it, to command and encourage the children to take care of him. Why is this? Why is the husband so concerned? So the Rebbe explains, Kiven shehu bailostam. Since, after all, he's just a plain individual that got married to a princess. V'lei melech, he's not a king. Yesh makim l'chashash. There is room for a concern. Shahabanim, nechdei melech, the children of the princess, the eneklach, the grandchildren of the king, yinagubi minig bizayichul. After their mother, the princess, passes away, won't give the proper honor to their father, which is now just a plain individual. Ulachain, nachot, it's important, sheishta, shehi bas melech, that his wife, which is the princess, tzarzaim v'tazhira malkach. So she should encourage them and warn them about this, that they should take care and give the proper honor to their father. So this is the second point of the mashal, the attitude of the children, that there is a concern that the children will not have the proper attitude to their father. Gimel, the third detail here is, Hatay nehi ad she'at mifkadeteni chulu pakti bonei alai chulu. Before you come and tell me to take charge of the children, take care, tell the children to take care of me. What's the pshat of this? Bishloime im hayam melech. if this husband would be a king, hinigam im bonav lo yinegu by kavod, if even if the children are not going to take care of him, they're not going to give him his honor, it wouldn't matter. Ein zaka kol kach lehem. He's not relying on them to such a so much. Ki melech who? He's a king. V'yeshlei sarim v'avodim. He has enough ministers and servants to give him his honor and to take care of whatever he needs. Avam yacha shehu baal stam. Since he's not a king, he's just her husband, he's a plain individual. Ein lo yela banav levad. Who is going to take care of him after the princess dies? Who's going to look out for him? Only his children. V'im heim lo yinegu by kavod chulu. And if his children are not going to give him his honor he deserves, harei chulu, so then he's going to be in trouble. The Rebbe doesn't conclude. I guess the Rebbe doesn't want to emphasize in the negative, but then it's only his children that could look out for him. So that's the third detail in the mashal over here. The position of this person. The position, the husband is in a weak position. He's not a king. He's just a simple husband. So we have three details here in the mashal. The position of the bas melech, she's a princess. The position of the children, the attitude of the children. And the position of the husband, that he's not a king. He's just a plain husband. So it's these three details that are very relevant for the nimshal. Well, derech zeh ba nimshal, the same also applies over here to the nimshal regarding the conversation between Moshe and the Eibishter. Aleph, number one, regarding Moshe Rabbeinu speaking so strongly to the Eibishter. Be'im ba'koshas Moshe yifkad Hashem goyim isha le'eda she'yetzi lefneim ve'yavi lefneim yitziyim yivyim, that you should appoint an individual, a leader that should be there, that should be for the Yidin, yitziyim yivyim v'le'tiyah kitzayin Hashem l'mroya. And the Yidin should not be left without a shepherd. Moshe Rabbeinu, regarding this subject, that he wants to make sure that the Yidin have a shepherd, be'dovar zeh, regarding this specific subject, have a Moshe Roya Yisrael. Here, this is Moshe Rabbeinu's responsibility, and this is his thing that he could speak very strongly about. And the Rebbe points out, Va'asher Oma v'toikef, and we do find in the past that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke very strongly about this, Ve'ato im tisoch atosam, after the eagle. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Eibishter, if you forgive them, harei toiv, it's good. Then I do not tell you to erase me from the Sefer Torah. But Vim Ayin, if you do not forgive them, Mechaini, erase me from the Sefer Torah. And other similar cases, B'toikiv Gadol, Moshe Rabbeinu, regarding specifically this subject of making sure that the Yidin have somebody to provide for them, a shepherd that to take care of them, he speaks very strongly. Dugmas, Bas Melech, similar to the princess, Shenisa Labal Stam, that's married to just a plain individual, to a husband without any titles, which in this case, the nimshal is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, Kaviyachol the Eibishter himself. Regarding this, to provide for the Yidden whatever they need, to be a shepherd for the Yidden, this is Moshe Rabbeinu's position, and this is Moshe Rabbeinu's responsibility, and he speaks with a Teikif, he speaks strongly, even Kaviyachol to the Eibishter himself. It's interesting that Rebbe points out that Moshe Rabbeinu did this even earlier on, not only now when it came the time before he passes away. Even though in the Moshul, the Rebbe says that even the princess does not speak this way during her lifetime, any time in the marriage, only later when it comes time to pass away. The Rebbe continues, so now, when it comes the time for Moshe Rabbeinu to pass away, when he has to give over the Yidden, the sheep, to another shepherd that's going to fill his place to lead the Yidden, which are Bini B'chayri Yisrael. These are the children of the Yidden are the children of the Eibishter. Mamlechas Kainim, Sodom, the Yidden are the ministers, right? So the Yidden are not just any individuals. Tova Mibailo, Meisa Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe Rabbeinu demands of the husband, which is the Eibishter, B'toikiv Shobas Melech. Rashi specifically wants to bring the mashal from the Bas Melech, the princess, to make the point, to explain why Moshe Rabbeinu speaks in such strong terms. Because regarding this subject, Moshe Rabbeinu Kaviyachol has more yichus even more than the Eibishter himself. This is his responsibility, and this is something that's very deep in the responsibility of Moshe Rabbeinu that he talks to the Eibishter this way. Beis, the second detail here in the mashal, legab ebnei Yisrael, regarding the attitude of Yidden. So the second detail, shechelik mehem avru al tzivei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kama pamim. A portion of Klal Yisrael has not listened to the Eibishter's commands more than once. So the attitude that these Yidden have to the Eibishter, so there's a concern that after Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, the Yidden will have an attitude to the Eibishter like an attitude that these children would have to the husband without any titles. They won't give the Eibishter the proper honor. So therefore we need that Moshe Rabbeinu, which is Habas Melech, he is the Bas Melech, he is the princess, Yitzaving, you should command the Yidden B'dibushal Zeros to talk and to encourage them, Alzeh, regarding this Tzav is B'nai Yisrael. So therefore there is this concern, and it's very exact that Rashi uses the term Bailostam, because it is possible that there are amongst Yidden, as it's been in the past, that they will not have a very good attitude towards the Eibishter, and they will treat the Eibishter like Bailostam. So that's another reason why it says Baal Stam over here without any titles. Gimel, then comes the third point over here, the position of the Eibishter, that the Eibishter Kaviyochel needs. He needs our Avodah, and he's requesting of Moshe Rabbeinu that he needs the Karbonis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who Kaviyochel, the Eibishter is Kaviyochel, Kamoi Baila. He's just like an husband, but V'loi Melech, we're not talking over here about the fact that the Eibishter is a king, but he's just a husband and an Av, a father, HaZakuk L'banav L'lechem, that could be relying on his children for bread. That's what the Mashal is coming to explain. Ubemeila move on. So what's understood over here regarding the Nimshal is, Kitzav is Banai Alai. When the Eibishter tells Moshe Rabbeinu, command my children to listen to me, Harezadovra Muchrich Kaviyochel Lo Yisbarach. So to speak, this is something that the Eibishter is relying upon, and it's completely necessary, like a father that could be relying for bread for his children to feed him. Ukimufurish Behemshech HaKosav. Even though this is difficult to understand, how could we say that the Eibishter relies on whatever Yidden will do, like a father relies on eating bread? But we see this clearly in the continuation of the Pasuk, and this is why the Pasuk uses this terminology here. As karboni lachmi, that the karbonis is my bread. Shar karbonis hem lachmoi umizoinoi dova hechrechi. The karbonis are bread, they are sustenance, which is something that's necessary. Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol of the Eibishter Kaviyachol. So therefore, the third detail of the Mashal over here is, Rashi specifically does not refer to the Eibishter as a king, but he refers to the Eibishter as a husband, as a Baal, without any titles, because it's like a husband, or in this case a father, that can't provide for himself, and the Yidden have to provide for him something which is completely necessary, and therefore the Eibishter says, Moshe Rabbeinu, command the Yidden, before you command me to take care of the Yidden, command the Yidden to give me my sustenance, which is completely necessary. In the Ha'ara, the Rebbe points out that there's other sources for this, and to understand what the pshat in this really is, that the Eibishter is relying on our karbonis like bread. So the Rebbe points us to a Sich in Chelek Yud Beis, the very first Sich in Chelek Yud Beis, which we learned not long ago, where there it's explained, apichsidis, what this means, that the Eibishter relies on the Aveda of Yidden. But the point is, we see here beautifully how the choice of what Rashi brings in the Mashal explains the conversation between Moshe and the Eibishter. Bas Melech is telling us, is explaining us, how Moshe Rabbeinu could speak such strong words. Moshe Rabbeinu is a shepherd. Regarding this inyan of providing for Yidden what they need, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks like a shepherd, like a Rebbe. And therefore he speaks to the Eibishter in such kind of terms. And the Eibishter, in this context, is just a husband, is the plain individual. And he's the plain individual that even Yidden may not give him his right, the right honor, and may not listen to him. And the Eibishter is, so to speak, relying, Kaviyochel, relying on Yidden for their Aveda. That's the pshat over here in the Rashi. Now the Rebbe concludes, Umizeh, Hayro, Niflo, Bavedus Hashem. So over here we have a wonderful lesson in our Aveda. HaKesher Shebein HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Neshames Yisrael Hu. The connection between the Eibishter and Yidden. It's Kaviyachol, it's so to speak, Al Derech HaKesher Shebein Av L'Ben. It's the connection of father and son. U'Kamoy Shenemar, as it clearly says in the Pasuk, Bonem Atem La'Vaya L'Keichem, you are children to the Eibishter. And it says Atem, Rak Atem. It's only the Yidden that have this connection. L'mayla mepchines melech. This is a much deeper connection than the expression of a king, which is not a connection to children. A king is a king over his nation, not children. Ein shom ella akadosh baruch hu unisham es Yisrael bulvad. In this relationship, it's the Eibishter and his children. Yiyu l'chol avatcha ve'ein l'zare mitcha. It's only the Eibishter and the Yidden alone, and no strangers are in this relationship. The kesher zeh ben akadosh baruch hu unisham es Yisrael. This special relationship between the Eibishter and Yidden, who inyan tmidi v'nitzchi shem bashinuyim, this is something which is constant, eternal, and has no changes at all. The carbon that we speak about over here, in connection to this, using this mashal over here, that the Eibishter is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, command my children to listen to me, to be connected to me, to provide for me. So we're talking about the connection of father and child. It's what are we talking about? A carbon tomet. We're talking about the carbon that's brought every day in the Beis HaMikdash constantly. Midei yoyim b'yoyimai on a daily basis. Upayal anachas ruach lefanei HaKadosh Baruch Hu chulu, and it brings a pleasure to the Yevishter. V'zeo kabayachol lach misha HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even more, this is the bread, so to speak, of the Yevishter. This is the special and constant eternal relationship that's expressed in the karbonis of the Yidden, the father and son relationship. So now the Rebbe says, utfilis b'makim karbonis tiknum. B'makim t'midim tiknum. The davening that we daven every day today takes the place of the carbon tamid that was brought on a daily basis in the Beis HaMikdash. So now, im ya'ale b'liboy shel adam ha'misfalo. A person that's davening might have the following thought. Ma'ayach shivus ha'gdeila kol kach. Why is it so important? Shel avedis ha'tfilah shel, my davening. U'midei yoyim b'yoyim, to daven on a daily basis. A person davens daily, three times a day. Why is it so important that I have to daven every single day, connect to the Eibishter? U'mao arash, what's the commotion? What would be so terrible in yechzar, chas v'sholem, if he will miss, God forbid, echad ma'tfilah is b'yoyim poshut yamei sechel. He'll miss just one tfilah, one davening, epes ha'mairiv, on a simple day of a weekday. What's going to be so terrible if he's missing that in his relationship to the Eibishter? So over here, al zeh ba meine, here comes the answer. Vahoyro mipirish Rashi dilon, and the lesson that we learn from our Rashi here. Hakadosh Baruch Hu bikish, the Eibishter requests, tzavei es bonai alai, command my children. It's my children. Command my children to turn to me. Sheyishmuru lahakriv b'mayadoy shnayim layoyim tomid, that on a daily, constant basis, the Yidden should bring the carbon tomid. Utfilis boys b'mkayma. And the same is on a daily basis, the Yidden, the children, should turn and connect to their father. Va'imer alzel lachmi. And the Eibishter says that this is so significant that it's like bread. V'shezel choshuv. And even not only that, v'shezel choshuv oid yaser. The personal relationship that every Yid has in his davening on a constant basis, that father-son relationship that every Yid expresses when he davens, is even more important than appointing a shepherd for all of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, we see over here how powerful and how necessary the relationship, the essential relationship between the Yidden and the Eibishter is that comes out in the davening. Move on, and it's understood. Shekein hu b'chol yoyim tomid. This is something which is important daily, constantly. B'yamim hamuchadim shebishana. Whether it's special days in the year, or b'yoyim pashut b'maisachel, or whether it's just another regular weekday, or b'chol yoyim v'yoyim. Every single day, nasa al yidei tfilas kol echad ve'echad. You accomplish when you come and daven every single day. What you are accomplishing today in your davening is nachas ruach lefonai, the pleasure of the Eibishter sha'amarti, that I have commanded, v'nasa ritzoni, and you have fulfilled my desire.